Okay. So maybe in the future people want to make my mekumas, but I'm sorry. Busy. Okay, so the Zohar says, Atem nisavim hayom, that hayom, next week's parasha, the parasha we're going to read next Shabbos, Atem nisavim hayom, hayom refers to Rosh Hashanah. So there's really three questions we can ask on the Zohar. So first of all, what does the Zohar mean that Atem nisavim hayom is referring to Rosh Hashanah? That's one. Two, what does the word nisavim mean as opposed to the word omdim? And then three, why is it that the Torah specifically uses the language of Atem nisavim hayom instead of Atem omdim hayom? Yes, let's address these questions. We'll start from the last one first, or the second to last one first. So what's the difference between the word nitzav, nitziv, and the word omid? So, and the word omid means that you're straight. The word nitziv in Hebrew, it means a pillar. What's the difference between a pillar and something that's straight? How straight are you? If you're standing straight, you're standing straight. If you're a pillar, you're completely erect. If a person, for example, if a person wanted to travel somewhere, imagine you're traveling somewhere and you want to walk 100 miles straight. So if you start a little bit off, so you're not going to notice that you're off at the beginning. But when you're 100 miles away, you're going to be completely off from your destination. The same is true about Rosh Hashanah, that if a person is not completely erect, if his goals are not completely aligned, oriented for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you're just a little bit off, so you're not going to notice it on Rosh Hashanah. You're not going to notice it on Yom Kippur, which is right after. Well, it comes much later down the road to where we, for example, where we are now, you're going to be completely off where you're supposed to be. So in Rosh Hashanah, which is the first day of the year, as the Gral of the Sfarim explained, that the beginning of something is sort of representing the, it sort of contains within it the entire thing, right? When you start with something, like the first Bracha of Shemoneh Esrei encapsulates the entire themes of Shemoneh Esrei, so too the first day of the year encapsulates the entire themes of the year. So if you're not completely straight, if you're not completely aligned with HaKadosh Baruch Hu once this first day of the year, you're just a little bit off, so you're going to be completely off at the end of the year. So that's why the Torah uses specifically the lashon of Atem nitzavim hayom to emphasize the fact that we have to be completely straight. If we can't be just, if we're just a little bit off from where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, then we're not going to be on the path that Hashem wants us to be. And likewise, that explains why the Zohar understands that Atem nitzavim hayom is referring to Rosh Hashanah, because the Zohar is coming to teach that we have to be completely aligned, we have to be ramrod straight, we have to be completely aligned with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and just a little bit of deviation from that, we're going to be completely off from where Hashem wants us to be. So with this in mind, this yisod about understanding that Rosh Hashanah is all about realigning, reorienting ourselves with Hashem, this is really a big theme on Rosh Hashanah, as I will subsequently elaborate. So a lot of the Mefarshim, the Bavard, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that the world was created on Kafei Elul, or Kafei Adar, different opinions. So why is it that we celebrate Rosh Hashanah on the day that man was created? On Aleph Tishrei, we should celebrate Rosh Hashanah the day that the world was created, which was 6 days beforehand, or 5 days beforehand. So I'll give you a mashal. So in Halacha, there's people, when a couple buys a new house, so they're supposed to make a Chanukah Sabayis. Do they make an anniversary celebration the subsequent year of that? Or 2 years later, or 3 years later of that? No, they don't. But do a couple celebrate their own personal anniversary? Of course they do. Because the house is only a means for the marriage. And the same thing is about this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, the purpose of the world is for us, for humans, for our struggles. And therefore, we're not going to celebrate the anniversary of the creation of the world, because that's not why Hashem created the world. The purpose of the creation of the world is for humans. So therefore, we're specifically going to celebrate the creation of the world on the day that the purpose of the world is created, not on the day that the actual world is created. So if you understand like this, so now we can understand why is it that we view Rosh Hashanah as a day of judgment. Because the same way that a company will evaluate its employees every year at the end of the year to determine whether or not they're the right fit for the company. And the same is true for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that every single year, he has to determine whether every single person in this world is the right fit for the upcoming year, whether he should live or not. And our avodah on Rosh Hashanah is to realign ourselves with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to show that we want to be part of his plan. We want to be on the trajectory of the world to where it's going. And that's our avodah on Rosh Hashanah. So let's elaborate upon these points because they're very important yesodos, not only in terms of Rosh Hashanah, but as we said, right, Rosh Hashanah is a reflection. Right? Rosh Hashanah really is the themes of Rosh Hashanah really are supposed to reflect the themes of the entire year. We just highlight them on Rosh Hashanah, but they're really true for the rest of the year as well. So the Gra in Mishlei. So he says, what's the difference between the word Melech and Moshe? Right. The word Moshe means a tyrant, and the word Melech means a ruler. So the Gra says that a Moshe, a tyrant, rules with force. Right. He doesn't. The people don't vote for him or whatever. But the word Melech, a Melech, we accept. So when we say that Rosh Hashanah is about Malchus of Hashem, right, the point is that we're accepting upon ourselves HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech. And right, Malchus is is clearly the theme of the day. Right? For example, right, the Gemara has different opinions. Where do we add the bracha of Malchus? Right? Where do we put Kedushas HaYom? Right? So the Gemara is Bavid, right? So normally on Shabbos davening, right, you have three brachos. The first three brachas stay the same during the week. You have the last three brachas which stay the same on Shabbos and during the week. And the middle bracha is all about Shabbos. But the problem is on Rosh Hashanah, so we have nine brachas during Musaf, right? So we got one about Malchus, one about Zichronos, one about Shofros. So where are we going to stick the bracha about Rosh Hashanah? So the Gemara assumes that we stick the bracha on Rosh Hashanah during the bracha about Malchus. Why? Because Malchus is really the theme of the day. And Malchus of Hashem, it's not only about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king of the world, but it's also about us accepting him, as the Gemara explains. And on top of that, so the Sefer of Aaron Kotler and Mishnah Sarin, so Aaron Kotler says that if we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech, that really means two different things. So it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech, sort of mitzad him, but it also means that we're a Zavadim. And that part of the Malchus of Hashem is not only the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is king, but it also means that we're his servants. And part of the avoda of Rosh Hashanah is accepting upon ourselves that we are the servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and that we're worthy to be in his world and that he didn't create us for nothing. So let's elaborate upon this point because this is a very, very, very big yisod for what it means to be an Eved Hashem, what they exactly mean by this. So the Maharal explains, so there's an important Maharal where he explains that an Eved, by definition, if you're an Eved, right, so that means that you have an Adon. And there's really two types of, you can sort of conceptualize it, there's really two types of Avdus. So for example, right, imagine if you had I heard this pshat, so Lopiansky said this, he gave this mashal and explained to Maharal. So he said that, imagine you had someone who was like, you 24/7 had to like clean for you, right? So that's one type of Eved, right? That's obviously not a good, right? For the Eved's sake, that's not really good. Right? But imagine you had a doctor that was the top doctor in the country and was on call 24/7, right? So he's also enslaved because he's always on call for the top emergency cases. But when we say that doctor is enslaved to everyone, right? That's a shrach, that's a praise for him. Because the point is that everyone needs him. And that's true of our Avdus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our Avdus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like the person who's just has to do all the annoying jobs. No, our Avdus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like the doctor who the entire world needs. Because we're so important that the world can't live without us. And in Rosh Hashanah, when we talk about the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, part of recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus is also recognizing our Avdus in the great role that we have in his world. So that's sort of the general idea of Malchus. But let's explain this idea a little further. Okay, I also feel free to ask questions. I'm probably not explaining stuff so clearly. And there's a lot more deeper understandings to this, so feel free to interrupt with questions, caches, horrors, whatever. Okay, so there's a kasha. So I heard from Lopiansky, so he's Bavid. Why is it though? It's strange, right? We called it the Yom HaZikaron. It's a very strange name for the day. Right? What's the word Zikaron mean? The word Zikaron means memory. If the day is about Din in Malchus of Hashem, right, we should call it Yom HaMalchus or Yom HaDin in Davening. Why do we refer to it as Yom HaZikaron? On top of that, if you think about it, right, we call it Pesach Chag HaMatzos. We call it Sukkos Chag HaSukkos. Yom HaZikaron, that has nothing to do with the mitzvah that we're doing on the day. It's something completely sort of irrelevant, not irrelevant, but like minor. Why, it's like such a minor component to the day. Why do we call it Yom HaZikaron? So I'm going to lumbicize what he said. He said this more of a, he said this in a different context, but there's really, so he says that there's really two types of memory, right? There's more of a technical memory, right? Let's say, for example, you remember directions, I don't know, if place. You remember how to walk to the base medrash, right? So, okay, so you remember that, right? Animals have that memory, right? If you put food in front of a dog, so the dog will, and you keep doing it numerous times, so like the dog will sort of pick up on that and will sort of follow that. Right, but that's not a part of who you are. So, okay, so you remember how to go to the base medrash, but that's not really part of your essence. There's other things that are really a part of a person's essence. For example, right, a person gets married, so he remembers his wedding day. Is that the same way like he remembers directions to the grocery store next door? No, because remembering his wedding day, that's part of his actual mahos, that's part of his being. And the point is that a person's true essence, right? That's what he's about, right? Those are the things that he really remembers and make him, right? That sort of makes up his identity. So if that's the case of Akash Baro, if that's the case of a human memory, that there's really these two components of memory, right? There's more technical memory, you remember things technically, and there's more things that are fundamental memory, really part of your essence. So that's also going to be true of Akash Baruch Hu. And that Akash Baruch Hu's memory, there's the technical things. I'll explain what I mean, because this is a very important episode. And then there's also the things that really matter. So Rosh Hashanah, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is opening up the Sefer Zichronos. What's getting written in the Sefer Zichronos? The things that are really important, right? The things that are contributing to the trajectory of the world going to Yemos HaMashiach. What are those things? Those are the mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim that a person does. Right? The things that a person does that's part of his fundamental memory. The things that are getting written in history books are not right. Nowadays there's like this idea that like you have to be famous. I was talking to someone here once, so he was telling me how he wants to be a big billionaire, whatever. So why? So I was like, okay, well, why do you want to do this? So he said, I want the impact. It's because there's an idea. I want to leave a legacy. To leave a legacy for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that means that you need to be inscribed in the Sefer Zichronos, which is only going to contain right, the mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim that we do. Right, we tend to think of things as sort of three different categories. Right? Good, right? We sort of assume things are good and bad. And it really there's a third category, meaningless. And in Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is filtering out the meaningless things that we do. And that's not getting written down on the permanent Sefer Zichronos of what brought about Mashiach. Right, Kaviyachol, right, if you can imagine, right? For example, in the Purim story, it talks about how Ahasuerus, right, he had the Sefer Zichronos, he wrote down the important events of the kingdom. Right, Kaviyachol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's going to be a Sefer written about the important things that happened in the history of this world that brought about Mashiach. And the point is that we want to get ourselves written in that Sefer. And the only things that are going to get written in our Sefer are the mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim that we do. So that explains why the day is called Yom HaZikaron, because we're highlighting this point. Right? We're highlighting the point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's memory, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's filtering out the meaningless things that we've done in the past year. And that's not getting written down in the permanent Sefer Zichronos. So our avoda, right, is to do tshuva for that, to sort of turn those things that we didn't do right, into, right, we can get them written, the point is that we can still get them written in the Sefer Zichronos if we do tshuva. Does this idea make sense? Because if not, I'll try to explain again. Because this is very, yeah.
We're turning the meaningless things into good things. We're turning the.
No, so tshuva, right? The point. A lot of this farm, right? The point is that tshuva, it doesn't. Right, a person's averus become mitzvahs. So the point is that you did a lot of, not you, okay, me. I did a lot of things this past year that I shouldn't have done. How am I supposed to correct that? Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this idea called tshuva, in which case that if you do tshuva properly, right, the things that you shouldn't have been done will now also be written down in the Sefer Sichronos for good. Does that make sense?
And the meaningless things stay filtered out.
Oh, so you do tshuva for them, so it'll be, yeah. If you don't do tshuva, here's the thing, right? People tend to only do tshuva for bad things they've done, right? But there's really a third category called meaningless things. For example, okay, I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but how many people, me, myself included, have wasted time for no reason on their cell phones or other electronic devices? How many people tend to do tshuva for that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? I don't know, I venture to say most people don't. Why? Because some meaningless things that we do, we don't view them as bad. So therefore, we don't do tshuva for them. So, Rosh Hashanah, Kadosh Baruch Hu is looking at all the different events we've done this past year, and it's just like, that's going to be filtered out. Right? That's not really part of who you are. That's not going to come with, right? That's not going to be part of your, that's not going to be with you to Olam Haba. It's also not part of Kadosh Baruch Hu's history of the world. It's just meaningless. Right, so the point is that you can do tshuva also for meaningless things, right? And you should also have those things that turn into sklius. Does that make sense? Okay. Good? Okay. so along these lines, let's explain another very important yisod. So the Rishonim and Bavis, right? So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that there's three svarim that are opened up in Rosh Hashanah, right? There's a Sefer HaChaim, Sefer HaMesim, there's two Sefer, right? The Sefer HaChaim, Sefer HaMesim, right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu immediately in Rosh Hashanah inscribes the Tzadikim to the Sefer HaChaim, then he immediately inscribes the Rishayim to the Sefer HaMesim. And then the Beinonim sort of wait until Yom Kippur, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of inscribes their din. So if you look at all the Rishonim, right, the Rishonim, the Tosfos, you look in the Ramban, the Ritva, right, they're all bothered with a very simple problem. There's Rishayim that live every year, and Tzadikim that die every year. And don't tell me, like the tzaddik died, it's like, awesome. And so now you know that this guy's not really a tzaddik, he was really a bainon. That's obviously not pshat. So the Yishonim come up with, there's sort of two different approaches how to resolve this question. We'll work within the approach of Tosos. That explains that the Gemara is referring to Olam Haba. So let's explain what Tosos means by this. This is also a very important yisod that is emphasized not only during Rosh Hashanah, during Yisayim Mitzvah as well. And we'll explain why we add. We add Zachreinu L'Chaim. You'll add Michal. We always talk about Chaim. Right? We add four incitations to the Shemoneh Esrei Davening. Well, six, but four incitations to the first two brachos and the last two brachos that talk about Chaim. Right? So what's going on? What's this whole idea of Chaim? So it's a very important Ma'aral. So the Ma'aral explains that the word Chaim means, he says that it means eternity. So he has a bunch of rights. So for example, we call the Etz HaChaim. Why? Because it gave a person the ability to live, or gave Adam Rishon the ability, if we live eaten from it, the ability to live eternally. So if that's the case, on Rosh Hashanah, when we say Tzadikim are being written in the Sefer HaChaim, right, they're being written in the Sefer HaChaim, the eternal Sefer of Olam Haba. Same thing for most people who are hopefully Beinonim, right? Okay, I'm not going. We generally assume most people are Beinonim. Whether that's the case or not, I don't know. Right? When we say that we're trying to get rid of the Sefer HaChaim, we're not trying to get rid of for another year in this physical world, right? To be alive for another physical year. Okay, good. Like, obviously we want that. But when we say we want to be written in the Sefer HaChaim, we want to be written in the eternal book, the world of Olam Haba. And the din in Rosh Hashanah is not only for our physical existence for the next year, but it's also whether we're going to be written in the eternal Sefer HaChaim, right? Which comes back to what we just discussed, the Sefer Zichronos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rosh Hashanah is the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is evaluating where the world's headed. right? The same way as we said at the beginning, right? The same way a company, the boss of the company, the CEO will evaluate where the direction the company is headed. Kadosh Baruch Hu, every Rosh Hashanah is seeing where the world's headed. And right, our goal is to be a part of that, right? We want to be part of the trajectory of the world to Yemos Mashiach and Olam Haba. When we ask for Chaim in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Sesame Tshuva, we're not asking to live. We also are asking to live for another year, but really the main focus, or the Ikar Chaim that we're asking for, is the Chaim Nitzchin, right? The Chaim that we're attached to the Makor Chaim, right? The Kodesh Baruch Hu. Is that point also? These are very deep points, which I'm probably not explaining very well. But they're very important yesodos, not only for Rosh Hashanah, but really for the rest of the year as well. Okay, good? Okay, let's discuss a bit. How much time do we have? Okay, should we discuss shofar, zichron malchus? What do people want? They could discuss malchus, zichron shofars, shofar itself. Okay. Yeah, so let's discuss some ideas about malchus, zichron, and shofars. What's going on here? So there's a big machlokes in Rishonim, right? So the Rambam famously has 13 Ikari Emunah. But not all Rishonim agree with that. Rav Yosef Albo, in his Sefer Ikrim, so he disagrees with the Rambam, and he says that there are three Ikari Emunah. What are Rav Yosef Albo's three Ikari Emunah? So he... What? Okay, good. Now, next. Good. Next. It's belief in Hashem. So he says that that's the three brachos of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. That Malchios is the belief in Hashem, Zichronos is Tzchar Va'onesh, and then Shofros is about Har Sinai, Torah, etc., right? Belief in the Torah. So why is it that we're reaffirming our three pillars of faith, according to the Sefer Ikrim, even according to the Rambam? If you look at the Rambam, right, the Rambam really has these three categories, right? Even though he has 13 overall principles, but they really can be divided up into these three categories of belief in reward and punishment, belief in God as a whole, and then belief in Torah. So on Rosh Hashanah, we're emphasizing, right, Rosh Hashanah, according to the Sefer Ikrim, right, we're the three brachos, right? The Malchus is talking about belief in God, Zichronos is reward and punishment, and the last bracha, Shofaros, is about belief in Torah. So I think he's getting at a few different points. I'll sort of try to explain what I think he's getting at. I could be completely off, so if people have different suggestions, feel free to offer them. So first of all, as we said, right, Rosh Hashanah is the day that sort of sets the stage for the rest of the year. But these are our Ikar Emunah, if these are our fundamental tenets of faith, so obviously on the day that's supposed to be, right, it's supposed to sort of reflect what's coming for the rest of the year, we're going to emphasize that. We're going to accept upon ourselves our, right, the three fundamental tenets of our beliefs. Right, but on top of that, I think he's getting at another point as well, that I'm trying to think how to word this properly. Okay, maybe another time. Another time we'll explain this. So that's one idea by Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros. So there's also another interesting ha'ara that the number of ha'arim are bothered by. So we say in each of the sections of Shmoneh Esrei, so we say 10 psukim, right? So you got 10 psukim of Malchios, you have 10 psukim of Zichronos, and 10 psukim of Shofros. And we do three from Torah, we do three from Ksuvim, and then three from Nevi'im, and then one from the Torah at the end. So Tosas, everyone's bothered, why is it that we're going out of order? It should be Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, right? Why is it that we're going in the order of Torah, Ksuvim, Nevi'im? If you look in the Pesukim that we cite in the Machzor. So Rav Tzadok HaKohen and Rav Salavitch, this might be like the only time they said the same shot. So they both explained that we're going in the order of past, present, and future. The Torah's past. Ksuvim, David HaMelech, is talking about the present. Then the Nevi'im is a lot of times talking about lasid love, about the future. So what are we supposed to make of this? Right, so this comes back to what we said at the beginning, right? The whole point in Rosh Hashanah, right? The world is a circle, right? In Judaism, we don't view time as linear, but it's also, we're going back to the beginning. The Ramban, a lot of the other Kabbalists, right? They all note that Ramban, the sixth parsha, says the sixth parsha. No, next six. No, this sixth parsha. Ramban, the sixth parsha, and parsha is the seventh. So he says that Olam Haba is going back to Gan Eden, Kodem Achet. And the point is that we're connecting ourselves, right? We're reaffirming our Yesodus, as Rav Yosef Albo said, right? In the past, present, and future. And the point is that we're sticking ourselves in sort of the history of the world, right? Within the past, present, and future, right? We're reaffirming our core beliefs, because the point is that we want to be part of that history. Because in Rosh Hashanah, right, we're recognizing the true goal of the world, right? Which is to go back to Kodem Achet. And the point is that we want to be a part of that, right? So how do we be a part of that? So we accept upon ourselves the fact that this is, right, the goal of the world and where the world's going. So that could sort of be the beer, the hasbro for what Tzadik HaKohen of Salvation are getting at. Again, I don't know exactly what they meant by this. Maybe they're just making a horror. I think that's sort of how you could explain it. Yeah.
Is that what you're saying, that also the last one is from Torah again?
Yeah, exactly. The point is that you're going all the way back to the beginning. Yeah, exactly. The point is that you're going all the way back to the beginning. And the point, it's not, right, we're not viewing time only as linearly, going past, present, and future. But the point is you're going all the way back to the start. You're going all the way back to the beginning. And that's the sort of what the world's going. Right, that's where the world's going. Right? The world's going back to the beginning. That's what we're sort of tapping into. Kaveyachol. Okay, so we have a few more minutes. Let's explain one more. There's much more to say. Maybe next week we'll have to do a tashlum and everything we didn't say this week. I'm going to try to explain a very fundamental yesod about Rosh Hashanah. I'll see what I can do. If I don't, if it doesn't come out so clearly, please ask, and I'll try to explain it clear. So the Gemara, when asking for the sources of Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, so the Gemara, for the fact that we say 10 psukim, so the Gemara has three different shitas. So opinion number one is that the 10 psukim correspond to the 10 asar mamaris, which are the 10 utterances that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world with. Opinion number two is that they correspond to the asar sadibros, which we received at Har Sinai. And the last opinion is that they correspond, that the 10 psukim correspond to the last 10 halalukas in the last parak of Tehillim. What's going on here? So, the 10 Asar Mamaris corresponds to Bryas Olam, the creation of the world. Asar Sadibros is Har Sinai. And if you look at a lot of Mepharshim in the last parak of Tehillim, they all assume that the last parak of Tehillim is referring to Lasid Lavo. So, there's Bryas Olam, Matan Torah, Lasid Lavo. Now, it's interesting, we only see this on Rosh Hashanah. On Shabbos davening, for example, as well. If you look in the Machzer Vitchur, Rav Ujram, so the Rishon Rebavid, by the davening during the week on Yontif, right, it's the same davening for Maariv, Shacharis, and Mincha. Why is it that Friday night davening, it's Vayechulu, Shabbos morning davening, it's Vishamru, and Mincha davening, it's Atar Chod? So the Rishon, a number of them explain that Friday night davening corresponds to Shabbos Bereishis, Vayechulu Hashem Amaretz. Shabbos morning davening, we talk about Kabbal Satorah, Shabbos Matan Torah. And Shabbos Mincha is that we're sort of going L'Asid Lavo. There's a lot to talk about what this means, but we'll focus on the connection to Rosh Hashanah. Right, but on Rosh Hashanah as well, right, we're emphasizing these three times. So we got creation, Matan Torah, end of the world. So what's the meaning of this? Okay, so as we said in the beginning, right, so there's a big idea in Kabbalah that there's really, first you have the initial plan, or the sort of the spark, the initial spark, Chachma, then there's Bina, right, you have sort of the plan, and that's like the execution of that. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, right, that was sort of the initial sort of idea. Kabbalah's HaTorah, Matan Torah, was the plan. And then La'asid Lavo is supposed to be the execution of that plan. So let's explain this, because this is complicated but important. The Torah Samincha is a Talmud of the Rashba, So he says that the word kol, right, we find two types of dibros from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? We find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us to do stuff, right, like mitzvos, and then another stuff, like we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanding something to happen, it happens. For example, v'yomer elokim yior, so what does the pasuk say, v'yior, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said there should be light, there's light, right? Okay, also we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't steal, so we're not supposed to steal. Right, but there's a fundamental difference between those two types of utterances of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that should be light, right? So there's light. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that we shouldn't steal. So at Har Sinai, we heard we shouldn't steal, right? But that's not a reality. La'asid lavo, if you look in the Nevi'im, right? What did the Nevi'im say? Right? The world's going to be full of the Das of Hashem. And the point is that la'asid lavo, it's supposed to be the reality. We're going to turn Torah into reality, right? In the sense what I mean, right? The sense what I mean by this is that right now, right, you have the choice to do a mitzvah or an aveira, because we don't view Torah as a reality. Right? Once lawsuit love is going to happen, we view Hashem as, right, it's so obvious that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king of the world, right, Torah is going to be reality. What happened to Har Sinai, when we said the Har Sinai is the plan of the world, that's not going to be fully executed to lawsuit love. Because in that, right, once lawsuit love happens, when the Torah Simincha says that the word, when the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sort of two dibros can be understood as you should not, right, it's going to be you're not, because we're going to view Torah as a reality. And on Rosh Hashanah, right, the point is that we're hinting to this as well. Because the point is on Rosh Hashanah, right, as we said, right, Rosh Hashanah is supposed to, it's like the blueprint of the world, world's direct, it's sort of heading to. So on Rosh Hashanah, right, we're sort of highlighting this idea that there's going to be a day where what happened in the Har Sinai, right? Har Sinai is a big theme of Rosh Hashanah. It's a little strange, right? That should be Shavuos, right? Because the point is that Rosh Hashanah, right, we're highlighting the fact that what happened in Har Sinai is not, it wasn't a one-time event, right? That's going to be reality, lasid lavo. And the point is that we're trying to, right, we want that, right? First, we want to accept that, find ourselves as, right? Yeah. Also, coupled with this, right, there's a point that we're also supposed to view Torah as a reality, right? The point is that not only lasid lavo is Torah going to be a reality, but the point is we're also supposed to make Torah a reality in our lives. That, in the sense that when Hashem says to do something, it's not, should I? No, it's, you cannot, right? The point is that Torah is supposed to be a reality in the sense, we're sort of accepting upon ourselves that on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, does that idea make sense?
What? Huh?
Yeah, sure.
So, the last pasuk in Malchios. Yeah. So normally on the Sukkim of Malchios and Shofros, we try to make sure that there's the word, either like Melech or Zecher or Shofar.
Yeah.
There is one notable exception, which is the very last pasuk in Malchios, right?
So Yisrael,
right, which is the pasuk of Shema Yisrael.
Yeah.
So this begs the question of how does this connect to Malchios?
Yeah.
So the Sefer, the Midrash Halacha on the pasuk of Shema Yisrael, says an idea which I think is very similar to what you were just saying. So the Midrash Halacha on pasuk Shema Yisrael says, the phrase Hashem Elokeinu ba'olam hazeh, Hashem Echad la'asid lava. So it's very strange. We usually don't view these things as different stages or a contradiction or a stira, but the Sefer views it that way. So that Hashem Elokeinu right now in olam hazeh, this now, at this stage of history, it's just Kal Yisrael who accept Hashem as our God, Elokeinu, right? Yeah. But really, it's Hashem should be in a very total, objective sense, Hashem Echad over the whole world, and therefore that's actually a very fitting encapsulation of number one, of the theme of Malchios. Number two, as you mentioned about the chronology point, that to end off that point of that in the pasuk Shema Yisrael Gufa, it has the whole timeline of the vision. I think that could be like tie into what you're saying.
That's beautiful. Yeah. It's exactly on point. Okay, very good. Okay, I don't want to keep people awake because they're having another. I don't want to make people wait. So.
There's another question under there.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Therefore, you must consciously decide to obey Hashem?
Exactly, but the point is that we're supposed to not only view it as, we're supposed to make it a reality in the sense that when Hashem says to do something, that's what, it's not like a, right, as much as it is a choice, but we should view it as, this is what Hashem says, that's what we're going to do. As much as it is a bechir, but put this way, the bechir should not be, should I do this aver or this mitzvah? Our bechir should be, the bechir point is that I want to do Hashem's will, and that's it, right? That's of your, the nekus of bechir is sort of like earlier, in a certain sense. That makes sense. Okay, does anyone know how to turn this off? Do people want to share next week?